imagine suffering in all the numbers we heard this week. Nor do I need to repeat that funding is woefully inadequate to meet those needs. The oft-repeated truth is, unless we address the causes of crisis, which is conflict, climate change, and deadly diseases, needs will grow, as will the funding gap. This means more lives lost in those crisis areas. Humanitarian agencies can only respond to the symptoms of global crisis. We will never be a means to play the largest or most important role in solving their root causes. We can only alleviate the suffering caused by crisis, but we cannot stop them from happening. The primary responsibility to end conflict, fight climate change, and achieve the Sustainable Development Goals rests with member states. Yet, specifically for humanitarian affairs, allow me to summarize a few key points emerging from this week, where we look to member states and others to help make the humanitarian system more effective and efficient. First, I echo the Secretary General's call to urge all leaders to generously support the COVID-19 response in the most vulnerable countries, including by doubling the production of vaccines and ensuring equal access and distribution through the COVAX platform. COVID-19 vaccines must be a global public good. Second, as we heard throughout this week, humanitarian principles and humanitarian space are under growing pressure. So, with so many in need, humanitarian access is crucial to an effective response. For millions of people in need, their already acute vulnerability is compounded by weak health systems and travel restrictions, which are severely impeding access to life-saving humanitarian assistance. Countries must facilitate the provision of humanitarian aid and release any restrictions for humanitarian staff and supplies. Third, it is imperative to ensure compliance with and respect for international law, including humanitarian, human rights, and refugee law. It is only through upholding of human rights and international humanitarian law and refugee law that we can protect civilians and affected people and ensure respect and protection for health and humanitarian workers and infrastructure. This is especially important in the current fight against COVID-19. Robert Mardini, the ICRC Director General, made an excellent point this week, and I quote him, "Just when protecting health care is of utmost importance, it is under attack. This is unacceptable." Fourth, most immediately, we have millions of people in six countries facing the threat of famine, or are already in famine-like conditions, bringing with this mass suffering, starvation, and death. We have not seen this level of famine risk in 10 years. It is indeed a stain on our humanity, and it is entirely preventable. The time to help these people is now. We need access, respect for international humanitarian law, and we need the urgent funds to act now. Fifth, I call on all member states to urgently provide the $36 billion to finance the global humanitarian response to stop more human tragedy from unfolding. It sounds like a lot, but it is entirely manageable given OECD GDP. Millions of people are looking to us for their survival and protection. We must stand in solidarity with them by fully supporting all humanitarian response plans to sustain existing life-saving operations. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the challenges before us, famines, conflicts, climate change, and pandemic, are interconnected and accentuate vulnerabilities. We have no choice but to face the challenges head-on while also ensuring the humanitarian system is becoming even better in serving people at risk and in need. Once again, I thank you all, Madam Chair, for your stewardship of the HAS this year, IAC colleagues, humanitarian partners and member states for your thoughtful and productive recommendations during the successful ECOSOC Humanitarian Affairs segment in Geneva. I especially want to express gratitude to our humanitarian colleagues working on the ground in the most challenging of circumstances, doing indispensable work. Allow me here at the end to quote what Fatima, a Syrian refugee student living in Jordan, said earlier. "Children dream about getting back to school and doing what their parents could not. We must look upon Fatima as we would look upon our own children to motivate ourselves to tackle even the hardest challenges thrown at us by the multiple crises we are facing. We have no time to waste. Let us turn our recommendations from this week into action." Thank you very much.